Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Psalm 115 and the 12th verse. Psalm 115 and verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Psalm 115 and the 12th verse. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. What a mercy it is that the Lord is mindful of all things concerning his dear people, both inwardly in their souls and too in their pathways and in all they stand in need of, both for time and for eternity. Now, we looked much this morning at this first part, the Lord hath been mindful of us. There's just one or two things I want to name before we go further. First of all, the Lord is mindful too of the promises that he's given to his dear children. And there may be those of you who can look back over the year and you can remember those sweet promises that he has given. And he's mindful of those promises. And in his time, you see, he will fulfil them. I often think of that beautiful word, I think I named it in prayer, that he says, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And you know, those promises that he gives, he's mindful, he's ever remembering those promises he's sealed home to the hearts of his dear children. Sometimes you may think when the Lord does not fulfil them in the way you think he should, or I may think he should, the Lord has forgotten them. The years pass by, the months pass by, the days pass by, but you see the Lord is still mindful of them. Oh yes. And in his time, and this is where we need much patience, isn't it? To wait his time when he will wonderfully bring them to fruition. But the second thing I would name is this, that David in Psalm 23, he could look back to the mindfulness of his God. Especially in that last beautiful verse where he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he could look back and see how mindful the Lord had been to him, and his mercy and goodness had been bestowed upon him. And you know, it's very humbling, isn't it, to see the mindfulness of the Lord. Well, much further could be spoken on that, but I want to come to the second part. We hinted this morning of the looking back and the faith given to look back, but the faith to look forward. And you know, the dear psalmist, as he penned this psalm, had that exercise so within him, to look back, but to look forward. there was gracious anticipation in his heart. He will bless us. There was this wonderful prospect, you see. You know, a religion really that lacks prospect lacks everything. There's a wonderful prospect before every one of God's dear children. Of course, the greatest of all prospects for them is this, to be with the Lord forever without a veil between. And he sets that prospect, the blessing, before them. But as they journey through this wilderness here below, he's promised to bless them. Now, as we begin, we would begin with, have we the desire to know the blessing? Now, look in your heart, think of the coming year, and have we the desire that as we venture in it, the Lord would grant us his blessing? That he would open the windows of heaven. That's a sacred word, isn't it? He says, will I not open you, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it? He begins it by saying this, and prove me now herewith, and I will open you. And you know, a real exercised child of God will prove their God. Oh, he will. She will. They'll prove their God. And they'll prove him faithful, that has promised. And he says to the church of God in those last dark declining days of the Old Testament, and prove me now herewith, I will open you the windows of heaven. And what was that a real forecast of? What was to come? It was the glorious day of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He'd set it before them. And there were those dear godly souls that were waiting for that day. And the blessing would descend. So have we the desire for the blessing. Well, let's name one or two that had. Firstly, we think of dear old Jacob. What did he say? And may we know that wrestling prayer that he knew. For the blessing, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. The hymn writer took it up, didn't he, beautifully, when he said, mine's an urgent pressing case. And how urgent is yours, and how urgent is mine, as we think of 2018, is it, Lord, that the Lord would bless us? Do we crave it? Do we long for it? Do we wrestle for it? Do we plead for it? Like dear Jacob did. But remember, and it's often forgotten, the dear man was in the depths of trouble when he prayed it. You know, there are times when the Lord will bring us into the depths of trouble, whether it's providential, whether it's spiritual, whether it's in the family, or whether it's in the church of God, or in our own souls, to bring us to seek this blessing. And that's where he brought dear old Jacob, didn't he? Where it seemed as though everything was against him. But you know, the Lord, what do we read, did for dear Jacob? He blessed him there. Oh, he did. And all might be so that if we're spared into the coming year, this text will be fulfilled. He will bless us. And why did Jacob pray that? He prayed it because he had faith to believe the Lord would bless him there. Oh, he did. He believed it. And faith would not rest until it received the blessing. And then, of course, you have that wonderful case of Jabez. In the midst of all those names in the book of Chronicles, we find those two beautiful verses. I spoke from them a little a few weeks ago. And, you know, it's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Are you seeking a blessing indeed? And do we long for this blessing? You say, as we look forward, may we look forward to the blessing. He says, He will bless us. There's a wonderful certainty here in this word, isn't there? One of the old preachers used to say in my early days, he said, friends, I love the eternal certainties in God's word. Here is something that is certain, you say. He will bless us. It was certain to the faith of the dear psalmist. He will bless us. But do we long for it? Are we pleading for it? Are we giving the Lord no rest until he does? And what did he do for Jabez? He blessed him there, didn't he? Oh, he did. I want to look at the types of blessing in a moment, but oh, you think of this, he will bless us. And then it's something we can plead before the Lord, isn't it? Not only do we desire the blessing, but to plead what he has said. That's what I love so about the promises of the Lord. One blessed part of them is this. They're there for the child of God to plead with the Lord that he would fulfill them. And if this word is sealed home to some poor seeking sinner today, you've got something to plead before the Lord to fulfill, haven't you? And you're pleaded in sweet anticipation that he will grant it to you. Faith will believe it. The Lord then hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Now, let us look at a few of the blessings that we promise the Lord will grant. Well, first of all, let us begin with the sweet promise of the blessings of God's grace. You know, it's something the real child of God will continually seek for. Lord, do give me the blessings of thy grace. Oh, how we need grace, don't we? To bear the burdens, grace to resist Satan, grace to forsake sin, grace to endure to the end, grace to hold on our way. And what a blessing when the Lord gives you such grace. Really, you know, if you want the sweet pattern of God's grace, you look in the dear Lord Jesus himself. Grace shone in him. Oh, it did. Oh, it was so seen while he walked this earth, the grace there was in him. And what do we read in the Word of God? Well, the first thing is this: grace for grace. Secondly, but he giveth more grace. Wonderful promises, aren't they? And we read in the Acts of the Apostles, there were those blessed characters that were blessed with great grace. Great grace. Grace abounding. We sing in the hymn, it's a very precious hymn really, and been made very precious to many of God's dear children. Sovereign grace, or sin abounding. Oh, that beautiful 766 hymn, isn't it? And all the wonders of it, you say. Sovereign grace. Where would you be and where would I were it not for the grace of God? His grace. And what a blessing to receive the grace of God. Well, there may be many things that you'll have to refuse. Why? Because of the grace of God. You see many going and wallowing in sin and entering into terrible things, and you have to say, there would I have been were it not for the grace of God. Grace abounding. Well, may we know as we venture into 2018 the grace of God manifested in the blessing of it in our own souls. But secondly, do we not need the blessings of pardon in our souls? He will bless us. You know, I often name the case of the dear woman with the issue of blood, but you know, when she ventured to the Saviour, she went in sweet anticipation of the blessing, and the blessing particularly of pardon, and then the blessing of healing in her body. Oh, those blessings of pardon. Think of the dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Oh, a poor, needy sinner creeping behind the Saviour to wash his feet. And oh, what did the Lord give her? The greatest blessing she could ever have in the earth, really. He sealed pardon and peace home to her soul, didn't he? She could go from that house free from all sin. He'd remove them all. Her sins were forgiven. And may we know as we venture into 2018 that great blessing of pardon and of forgiveness. Another blessing that we will long for will be this: the blessing of his sweet presence being with us. Oh, how vital it is, the presence of the Lord. You know, I've often stood amazed at the case of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. Pharaoh saw that the Lord was with the children of Israel. It was seen. It was wonderfully manifested. What a blessing that was, wasn't it? If God be for us, who then can be against us? Oh, the blessing of his sweet presence being with us. There's a few ways I'd just like to hint at it. Firstly, we want to feel it, don't we? We mentioned this morning the great need of having a feeling religion. And you know, if we got a real feeling religion, we shall want to feel the presence of the Saviour with us, his sweet presence. And we shall want to know it. And what a blessing to have the presence of the Lord with us, because if he's with us, it'll be well while life endure, and it'll be well when called to die. I think of those dear disciples, you know, when they were tossed around in the ship. Where was the Saviour? Well, there are several illustrations of that in the Word of God. I'm thinking particularly when he was in the ship with them, asleep in the hinder part of the ship. There he was with them. But where were they being brought? They were brought to the place where they were felt to be in jeopardy. And yet he was with them, asleep. The storm didn't trouble the Saviour. He could sleep in it all. It troubled the disciples. But he was with them in it. Oh, he was. And what did he do when they awoke him? And what did the dear disciple, was it not Peter, said, Master, Master, we perish. There they were, fearing they were going to perish, but the Saviour was with them. And what did he do? He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the storm. And there was a great calm. What a blessing it was. He was with them in it, wasn't he? You know, you think in your afflictions, in your troubles, in providence and in grace, he's with his dear people. And what a blessing that is. A blessing that you can never describe in words, the great value of it. Him being with you. Nor do we not long to know much more and more of it. We think of that beautiful promise, and it's such a lovely word, really, what the Lord spoke to Moses. Well, there were two promises. The first promise was when he first went forth into leading the children of Israel, the commission he received from the Lord to lead them. And what did the Lord say to him? A wonderful blessing. There'll be many things, Moses, you have to enter into that are uncertain. And how will you fare in them? It may be as you venture into this new year. There'll be many things that are uncertain. We live in an uncertain world, don't we? Oh, the uncertainty there is. But listen, Moses, this is what the Lord was saying. This beautiful promise. Certainly, I will be with thee. I shall never forget preaching from that at Edmonton one Lord's Day evening. And the dear man that took me to the service, he was so exercised about following the Lord, and I knew not what his exercise was. I knew nothing. He was very tight-lipped in it. It was between him and the Lord. And I preached on that word, you know, in Edmonton Chapel. Certainly, I will be with thee. And you know, that dear man was so full And all the journey home, you know, he wept many parts of it, but he didn't say a word to me about it until afterwards, some weeks, few weeks afterwards, when the Lord wonderfully constrained him to follow his dear master. And you know, at the church meeting, when he gave his testimony, he made so much the point of the necessity of the Lord being with him in it. Certainly I will be with thee. You may have things that are uncertain, as I've already said, but you think of that promise. There's one thing that was certain to Moses: the Lord was going to be with him. And what a blessing that was to lead the children of Israel. He didn't lead them alone, you know. He was not in it alone, though many times he felt a lonely pathway. But the Lord was with him in it. And you know, later on, and that's what I was going to come to, the Lord wonderfully confirmed it, didn't he? Show me now thy glory, Moses says to the Lord. What does the Lord wonderfully give him? That beautiful promise: my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And it was a wonderful confirmation to Moses what the Lord had told him in the earlier days. Confirming it, you see. Certainly I will be with thee. And may the Lord whisper that to some poor exercised soul this afternoon. And whatever you may be in, it may be in the depths, it may be in the heights. Certainly I will be with thee. You know, when Moses came into places where everything seemed against him and he felt he was walking alone, you see, that promise still stood. And then we think too of the blessings, those tokens from heaven for good. What a blessing it was to dear Noah and those favoured few when the flood subsided, and really we're still receiving the blessing of it today. What did the Lord say? That he would not flood the earth again? And what was the promise? Behold, I have set my bow in the cloud. Have you got a bow the Lord has given you to enter into the new year with in the cloud? You got the clouds of affliction, the clouds of trouble, the clouds of distress, the clouds of sin, the clouds of unbelief. But you see, the darker the cloud, and we saw it the other day, how black behind our house the clouds were, and yet the sun came out, and through it was that beautiful rainbow. I have set my bow, it's God's bow, you see. But it's given to sinners in the cloud. Tokens, you see, of his love. Oh, it was a wonderful token to them, wasn't it? And what a token it is to us today, isn't it, really? And think about it in your soul. Have you got a few tokens? And those tokens will shine, you know, as the Lord shines upon them. You see, for that bow to be seen in its brightness and its reality, the sun must shine. And when the sun of righteousness shines in the heart of his dear children, those sweet bows that he has given them, tokens of his love, will shine brighter. Oh, they will. And you'll see in them such a beauty because they're full of Christ. Oh, they are. The promise is a yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Those tokens of his love. And he hath, and the Lord hath been mindful of us, he will bless us. And as we venture on in the journey, oh, to have those blessings set before us. You know, the Lord wonderfully promised Abraham, Isaac and Jacob those beautiful promises that in blessing, I will bless thee. You know, there's that sacred word, it's been very precious to me on different occasions, in blessing. And you may look at others and you may say, oh, but the Lord has so blessed them. What about me, Lord? In blessing, I will bless thee. This is what the Lord said. He wasn't going to leave them out, was he? And my great concern is that this afternoon and throughout this day, whatever may be your lot and whatever may be in the future and the holy mind and will of God, that he will fulfill this sweet promise. You seek for the blessing and yet you come into places of deep trouble. But you know sometimes the greatest blessings are in the greatest troubles. Oh, they are. If you were to go right through the holy word of God from Genesis to Revelations, and you look at those characters the Lord has blessed, some of the greatest blessings are in the greatest of trials and troubles. Oh, they have. How the Lord blessed them in it. Oh, he did. Another blessing I just briefly hint at is this, to have a precious Christ revealed to us as our Saviour, our Redeemer. And if you look in the case of the dear Hebrew children in that fiery furnace, how they had to come into it to have a precious Christ revealed to them. Oh yeah. And then if you look in the case of dear Naomi, how in all the grief she'd had to go through, the blessing was to descend. Through the loins of Ruth, there was to be born Obed. And what a time of blessing it was to dear, not only to dear Ruth, but to particularly to Naomi. And what did the discerning women of the city say to Naomi at the birth of Obed? And really, you see, before I name it, Obed was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And what did those discerning women say? He shall be to thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. And you know, that's just what a precious Jesus is to a poor sinner. A restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. And you know, that really balanced the whole thing that Naomi had had to pass through. And the greatest of the blessing, she had a beautiful view of the coming of the Lord Jesus. She saw in Obed a beautiful type of Christ. Oh, may we have him reveal himself to us. And what a blessing when he reveals himself to sinners. Is your prayer, and may it be so every day, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. He will bless us, and may we have our faith increased to truly believe that. He will bless us. And when he gives us that faith to believe he will bless us, it'll sweep away all the unbelief. It will. Oh, it will. And may the Lord grant it to us. But then he goes further. Much could be said on this, but I should have to leave it. But he goes further in two ways. He says, he will bless the house of Israel. And he will bless the house of Aaron. Now, this blessing of the house of Israel meant all the Lord's dear chosen children. He's promised to bless them with all the riches of his grace, the house of Israel. Now, does it exercise you and does it exercise me? Lord, are we among the house of Israel? Oh, to be found among the house of Israel. You see, Israel, throughout God's word, it refers to all God's dear chosen children. Oh, it does. You remember how the Lord changed the name of Jacob to Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Oh, the house of Israel. And you read right through the word of God and you'll find how many times the Lord promised to bless the house of Israel. And here we have it again. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. So there's this wonderful prospect to the church of God, isn't there? The blessing to descend. But then he says, he will bless the house of Aaron. The house of Aaron, God's priest, meant every one of his dear servants. It meant firstly all the whole children, elect children of God as the house of Israel, but he particularly blessed the house of Aaron, the house of his servants. But he's been with me, and I feel I must just name it. It interests my heart as we left the subject this morning. I never thought of it before, but you know, as I went from the sanctuary, I thought what it said here was wonderful, really. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. I just want to tarry for just a moment or two on this house. You see, firstly, it's personal. The blessing of the house under the roof of the skin, our own heart. Oh, to know the blessing there. Now, this is what I desire for us each. We might know the blessing in the house under the roof of the skin, our own heart. Secondly, the blessing of each of our homes, the house where we dwell, our families. That the Lord in 2018, he will bless the house of Israel. The blessing in our house where we dwell, in our families. Thirdly, the blessing in the house of God, in his house. May it be so here. Among us as a flock. And may it be so throughout Zion for his dear servants. And then he says he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And then this beautiful promise. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You see the prospect there is in each of these verses. And do we not need our faith increased, our strength increased? We need more and more the Lord to increase us throughout Zion. And only he can do it. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this. And may the Holy Spirit sweetly fulfill it in each of our hearts. The Lord hath been mindful of us. We can look back and truly say that personally. We can say it, I trust, collectively. But then the promise. He will bless us. And may we be given grace to plead it earnestly before him, to fulfill it. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. And oh, the final blessing will be to be landed safe in glory with the dear Redeemer without a veil between.